1 Kings chapter 19. We'll start in verse number 1. It's familiar scripture. When you find it, say amen. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged unto Judea, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and said, and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel, Israel, for forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I, am left. I am left. And they that seek my life to take it away." That's all I'm going to read. I was going to read on farther. But here we find in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, chapter 19. If you look back in 18, you find Elijah, the man of God, how that he had confronted the prophets of Baal and such a great victory over the enemy. And such a victory that upon Mount Carmel, there was a confrontation, which most of us as Bible readers know, that he challenged them to let the God that answers by fire, to let him be God. And the prophets of Baal, they brought their sacrifices and they built their altar. And the Bible says they called upon their God. And they called and called, and there was no answer. And and Elijah even mocked them, saying, "Surely, maybe your God's on a errand, or maybe your God's asleep. Awake him. Cry out some more." So they cried out some more, but no answer from their God. Then Elijah said, "It's my turn now." And as he began to pray, and the Bible says he prayed. And he prayed and he said, "Let the God that answers by fire," said, "we'll let him be God." And I believe it was a 52 or 62 word prayer he prayed. And the Bible says the fire of the Lord fell upon Elijah's sacrifice. And it was consumed. And it licked up the water in the trenches. And it brought so many barrels of water. It was a great miracle what Elijah had done. The miracle of God, the fire that came down and destroyed the prophets of Baal and slain them. But now we find Elijah in almost a different picture from one chapter, from chapter 18 to chapter 19. It's daylight to dark difference. Now we find the page turned and Elijah, the news comes back to Jezebel about what had happened upon Mount Carmel. And she no doubt was hoping that her prophets had won the battle. But the news came back from Ahab to Jezebel saying, "Your prophets were destroyed. They were destroyed. They were slain by this Elijah." So she gets upset, and a lot of times she got very upset, and she sent a messenger. She sent a messenger to Elijah saying, in verse number 2, "So let the gods do unto me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them tomorrow." Meaning, same as saying, "You're next. You're not going to do my prophet this way." She stood up against him. But we find Elijah, instead of standing up against this wicked Jezebel, this infidel. Instead of standing up against her, he cowers back now. We find him getting under such a load that the Bible says he goes underneath a juniper tree. And as he's underneath the juniper tree, he begins to make excuses. And you look at him, and to me it's kind of a hard contradiction to understand this man that was up on the Mount Carmel and now to see him down in this valley. But there's times that even great men get down. There's times that even great men get weary in the battle. And there's times that even men get under such a load and under such a oppression that they've worked and they've labored and they've wore themselves completely. You ever been tired? You ever got just battle weary? You fought the fight. You held on, and it seemed like the next day that you just didn't feel like fighting. You just didn't feel like putting your hand to the plow. You just didn't feel like that your strength was sufficient for the battle. And no doubt him on Mount Carmel, it took a lot out of him. No doubt he'd worked and labored and helped build that sacrifice and that as his prayer and his the confrontation. No doubt that took a lot out of him. And I'm not trying to belittle the man of God, but now we find him in such a predicament. We find him in such a low state that he's weary and he's underneath this juniper tree and he begins to cry out for God to take his life. Meaning, same as saying, I cannot carry on. I've got to a point and this is as far as I can go. But here we find underneath this juniper tree, verse number 5, said, as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. He found him a place of comfortability where he was comfortable. And he got under the tree and he was very comfortable enough that he went to sleep under that tree. Under such a load, under such an oppression. He's under this dark cloud, if you will. His cloud, instead of the sunshine that he experienced upon Mount Carmel, now we find him in a cloudy place. Instead of victory, find him down in the valley. Instead of a victory, find him with defeat and darkness and discouragement. We find him as in Pilgrim's Progress, he's in the slough, the despond. He's in a place in a valley that he couldn't hardly lift his own head up. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life I've been down in that valley. It's not a good place to go to, and it's definitely not a good place to stay in the valley. It's not wrong to get down. It's not wrong to get discouraged. It's not wrong to be heavy laden, and it's not wrong in them capacities. But it is wrong to stay there. Do you hear me? It's wrong to build you a house there, a habitation, and say, I'm not going no farther. But God ended up dispatching an angel by that way. And thank God that God's got messengers that he can send by during times like that to lift our heads up. You ever had somebody come by your way when you was down and discouraged and it didn't seem like you was going to be able to lift your head up and it didn't look like the sun was ever going to shine again? And God come by with a messenger or a preacher or you turn the radio on and there's a song on and it lifts your spirits up. Here Elijah needed somebody to come by his way and say, get thee up. You can make it. Hold on a little longer. Don't stay down there. Here Elijah, God sent an angel by his way. And my message tonight is arise and eat. And as I prepared this, we had a few things there at the house that I wanted to bring by. I'll try to get it out. Josiah, you could come and help me. You wanted to help. Come over here and undo this and sit that up there. I don't know about you, but as Pentecostal people, we like to eat, don't we? Huh? Some? Be honest, we're in the house of God. We don't want nobody lying. Every one of us like to eat. Go ahead and open it up. And I ain't asking you to eat it because I think you'd like that. Just open it up and set it over here so we can see it. Give me that. But as Pentecostal people, we are known for for eating. We'll have dinners, and we'll have dinners. We'll have baby showers. We'll have all kinds of dinners. And every time we have one of them, we always try to find something to eat. Appreciate it here. But the angel of the Lord, I'll sit it here. Hope it don't fall. It's a fake cake. It's made of wax. It's not good to eat. I've not tried it. But if you want to buy it afterwards to try it, you're welcome. We'll cut you a slice off. But if you die, you cannot blame me or you cannot sue me for any. This is on tape, and it's been through the internet. If you eat this and die, I am not liable. But the cake that the angel made for him, it was a cake that as he needed something that revived his spirit. He needed something that would lift him up. He needed something to get him out of the pity party. You ever had a pity party? You ever threw your own pity party and brought your own balloons? Sure you have. Woe is me. I'm the only one going through it. Nobody else is facing this. There's nobody else ever been in this valley before. But if you look around and you begin to talk to somebody, you'd find out you're not the only one. And you'll not be the last one to go through that valley. Because there's others been there before. That's the reason it's a valley. It was made a valley because one started through it, and it wasn't long after that a ditch was made, and pretty soon there was a valley made. But there's been times I've been through the valley. There's been times that the angel of the Lord, the Spirit of God, had to come by and revive me, wake me up and shake me a little bit and help me to realize what I must be about. The Bible says we must be about the Father's business. We must work while it's yet day. We must redeem the time because the days are evil. We must not walk circumspectly as fools. We must realize this is a day and hour that we cannot get under the juniper tree. If there ever was a day and hour that God's people ought to arise and eat, it's this day. The table's been spread. The song says Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. What does he say? Come and dine. The master called it, come and dine. So the angel of the Lord was dispatched by here, and it's come right out of heaven's bakery, if you will. The cake was made, and not only a cake, but he got him something good to drink. My cake's good, but man, it's a whole lot better to have something to wash it down with. Ain't that right? You've been thirsty and need somebody to bring you water. Brother Bowman this morning, he got dry and thirsty. He needs somebody to bring him a drink of water. David, whenever he was weary, he'd long for a drink from the well of Bethlehem. Oh, that somebody would break through. Oh, that I just had somebody that stood by me. Oh, that I just had a friend that would come by my side and just break through and give me a drink from that well of Bethlehem. I used to drink of that well, is what he was saying. There was times I'd get me a refreshing from that well. And David longed for that. And he said, oh, that wasn't just any old. It was a longing inside that. Brother Jarvis mentioned a while back, oh, that we'd get our oh back. And it wasn't just an oh as you smash your finger with a hammer. Oh, that's a different kind of oh. It was a longing from inside. Oh, that somebody would get me a drink. Oh, that somebody would break through. There's a lady in the hospital. I remember a preacher telling this story. Said that she wouldn't allow it in the water because of her condition she was at. And she would cry out, water, water, somebody get me a drink of water. And she'd keep crying out, water. Preachers and people would go up and down to visit, and they'd hear that lady yell out, water, water. Oh, somebody get me a drink of water. Somebody, I'm thirsty, I'm dry. Somebody get me a drink of water. It's time to rise and eat. The table's spread. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. There's a fountain. There's a fountain flowing. There's a river still yet where the streams flow and make the city of God glad. I may have butchered that one. But anyway, there's a stream flowing, and you can taste and you can drink. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet, the song says. cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. You don't have to leave hungry. You don't have to leave thirsty. You don't have to leave down in the valley when the angel of the Lord's by your side, when God's got something to sustain you and keep you. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before that day. When I stand, if I stand and I'm down and out, it's because I want to be down and out. It ain't because God has no provisions. God has a plentiful supply. And we must rise and eat. There's victory, there's joy, there's power, and there's strength. You know what? When you go to the doctor, a lot of the times he'll ask you something. How's your appetite? That's what he'll ask you. He'll also tell you to stick out your tongue, but that's a different message. He'll ask you to stick out your tongue. When you stick out your tongue, he'll look at your tongue. And I preached that before about the power of the tongue and about words and things and deeds and about your tongue. But I'm talking this evening. He'll say, how's your appetite? And a lot of times if you say, well, I really don't feel too good. I've not been really hungry. You know what that is? A sign of something's wrong. Something going on inside you. Why ain't you hungry? You're supposed to be hungry. You're still a human being, ain't you? You're not no robot. You're not no extraterrestrial. You're a human being. You still have to eat to survive. You still have to get up in the morning and find you some grubs, because that's the way God made us. But when you lose your appetite, there's something wrong. Elijah had lost his appetite. And here the angel of the Lord was trying to get him to get up. Get up. Arise and eat. For the journey's too great for thee. We see on the second time, he had to wake him up. He fell asleep the first time. Sleep can be your best friend and it can also be your enemy. There's nothing wrong with sleeping. But it's a problem when you sleep too long. Maybe I hit a nerve. I don't know. Maybe we're all guilty. But there's a problem when you want to just keep on going back to sleep and not get up and be about the Father's business and work. It's high time we arise and awake out of sleep. For such an hour as this, we've come to the kingdom of God. We must work. I want to eat at the Master's table. He's got a plentiful supply. He's got enough to go around. It's not just for a secluded bunch. It's not just for the elders of the church and shut children somewhere else. It's not just for the young. It's not just for the middle age. But whomsoever will, let him come. Let him drink. Let him taste. You can leave satisfied. Amen. You can leave satisfied. He can feel that longing inside your soul. Have you lost your appetite? Have we come to the place where we're just satisfied with what we got? Are we living on crumbs when we could have a whole cake? I mean, I don't want to pick at that little cake every day and say, man, it was good. I want to slice a piece off of that. I want to eat it, even though I shouldn't eat it and I'm on a diet. But I want to slice enough off that I get satisfied. When I drink, I just don't want a drop or two of it. I want enough to satisfy that longing. We must hunger. We must thirst. We must arise for this hour. An appetite is a craving or desire to eat. An inherent craving. Here he said, arise and eat in verse 5. Verse 6, he said, he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and said, arise, and touched him. He said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. We went on in verse number 9. He asked him a question. What do you do here, Elijah? What are you doing here? I ask you that question. ask me that question. What are you doing here? You say, well, I do this and I do that. But what are you doing here? Is there something you're, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here tonight. Most of the faithful, or unless they're on vacation or something, I'm preaching to those that usually come regulars. But what are we doing? There's a work to be done. He asked him, God has a right to know where we're at. He does. He come looking for Adam in the garden. What did he ask? Where art thou? Where you at, Adam? God knew right where he was. But Adam went and hid himself. A big steamship has a device on it. It has a navigation system on it. It has a, trying to think that thing on it. It tells exactly how, whether it's to the north, whether it's to the south, east, or west. They can pinpoint exactly how many knots they're going, how fast they're going. And if big steamships are equipped with such things, should not God know where we're at and what we're doing? What are you doing here, Elijah? Why sit ye here until we die? What are we doing in this congregation? There's such potential that God has in you. He's got so much invested in you and I. He's got so much invested in First Pentecostal Church. There's work to be done. But if we sleep underneath the juniper tree, if we be idle and busy about nothing, it displeases the Lord. We must work quite yet day. We must labor. We must put our hand to the plow. The Bible says that he that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. But I don't know about you, but I want to arise and eat because the table is spread and he's calling. It's ready. It's supper time, brother. It's supper time, sister. I was going to bring a bell and ring it tonight. If you could hear the dinner bell, if you was a young man or young lady, if they had that when you're in your days when they rung the bell, you didn't sit back and say, well, it's ready, I'm going to wait 30 or 40 minutes. No, you got up and went and got what was prepared. Hallelujah. The table's been spread. In other words, arise and eat. There's a journey. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's got you in this place? They say the mountain climbers. So there's a place, excuse me, may have to open that up. But they said there's a place called the halfway house. And said this mountain that they climb up, this big Alps, they said there's a place that whenever, there's a place prepared for those that grow weary halfway up. As they're halfway up that mountain, they worked and labored and got halfway up, there's a place they warm their feet. Good coffee, warm up a little bit. But you know what happens when they do that? When they get in that halfway house and they get warmed up and they get their belly satisfied and they're sitting there all fine, they get weary and they begin to say, maybe we shouldn't go on up top that mountain. And there's windows all in that place. They can look out to the north, south, east, west. It's in a designated area where they can look all over the Alps. But when they got up there and they got weary, a few of them decided, said, we're going to go on up. But then there was a few that stayed behind. I don't have no desire to go any farther. I'm all right here. But the problem was, they'd go out every now and then, just like a magnet attached to a piece of metal. They were watching that other one go up to the top. And you know what they were saying? That could have been me. I could have been a little bit farther than where I'm at. But no, I decided somewhere along the way to sit down idle. I got too comfortable in my condition. I got comfortable with being raised up a Pentecostal preacher or Sunday school teacher. I got comfortable in my position. I watched others go up that mountain. I watched others that came along beside me. They went on. And as we look among the congregation, there's been a lot of our family and friends that have gone on. They've made their journey. They well done, thou good and faithful servant, has been spoken if they were a good and faithful servant. And heaven has welcomed them as we lost those in lately, and it was, others have went on. God has opened the doors up and welcomed them. But us that are left here behind, and I ain't talking about the Left Behind series, us that are working and laboring, that we must work while it's still yet day, for the night cometh. And I don't want to get comfortable in this place where I just sit back and watch others go off the mount. Watch others do the labor. Watch others do the work. Huh? It's not just for the middle age. It's not just for the older ones, but it's for you, me, and you, and me, and you, and me, and you, and me. Us and they, brother and sister, we got to work this thing together. I mean, I don't want to make it up there by myself, but I want to bring somebody behind me. I don't want to run this race and look back and my children not be behind me. I don't want to run this race and look back and realize somewhere along the way, I've lost some things along the way that were valuable. But I want to work. I want to labor. There's a mountain that we must face. We're headed up to higher ground. And I have my heart, the song says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I don't want to be half-hearted. I don't want to go live in a halfway house where I'm satisfied with just knowing the Bible storybooks. I'm just satisfied that I come Sunday morning, or satisfied that I just come Sunday night. I don't want to just be a spectator, if you will, but I want to be a participator. I want to be one that is involved in this. And I want it to wrap itself around me in such a way that it engulfs me and it becomes part of my life, that others may see and others may realize that I'm not playing games, that this thing it means the world to me. This living for God, it's not a part-time job that I've got, but it's a full-time duty. That I've known others, and I've known preachers that before, and I've talked to them, and they believe. I've known some preachers, now I've disagreed with them, and they didn't like it. I was right, I know I was, and they was definitely wrong. They said that their business that they work at and their Christian life is different. And I told him, I said, man, you're bad wrong. He said, no, he said, my business life, he said, it ain't nobody else's business what I do in my business. I said, it's God's business. I said, if you're out there, I don't know why I'm saying this, I said, if you're out there making a bad name, you're out there cheating somebody, you're out there doing somebody wrong, if you're out there charging them double when they can get somewhere else a whole lot cheaper but they don't know about it, then you're slandering God's name. Oh, it's different. My Christian life's a whole, there's a separation, but I beg differ with you. When you go to Walmart, you should be a Christian. Amen. You must, when you go to Burger King and you're sitting there eating your food, don't throw wrappers around everywhere. Don't throw what you don't. Don't throw your pickles on the table and just leave them there. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I don't know about you, but I feel like we have such a God-given duty to be a reflector of that life that's inside of us. And this table's been spread, and it should be something that attracts people. It should be something that they look at you and say, what have you got? Where do you go to church at? How about what you got? I want to know your God. And Elijah here got to a place where he couldn't lift his head up. But thank God, God's got a remedy. God's got a way of waking his people up. God's got a way of shaking you. Hey, if you don't shake yourself and awake, God will wake you up. And it may not be the way you want woke up. You've been woke up and just jolted out of your sleep. It's not always fun. It's not fun whenever in the middle of the night somebody comes beating at your door and you don't know what's going on. But God has a way of waking us up. But Elijah eats of this. And after he eats of this, we'll read here. And it said, and he arose and did eat and the drink and went in the strength of this for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? What are you doing? He felt all alone, felt like that nobody else was there. A lot of times we feel like we're the only Pentecostal or we're the only holiness people around. God's got a great big gob of them. You say, that ain't great English. I didn't ever claim to be an English teacher. Sorry about that. But God's got a lot more than you and I. Heaven's not going to be empty. Heaven's not just going to be for a select few, neither. A lot of churches, and I've said it before, a lot of churches believe that only their group's going to go. Sorry, you're bad wrong. Only the holy's going to enter in. Those that's been washed with the blood, those that have separated themselves, those that have made themselves ready. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the king when he comes. He's coming. What's it say? In power. He's coming for the church. And I don't want to be caught sleeping. I don't want to be caught on some kind of shoving away the things of God. I want to eat while it's yet eating time because I know I'm going to need the strength. You're going to need this strength. He ate of that, and that's what the angels told him. Said, arise and eat, for the journey's too great for you. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. If I knew what tomorrow hold, I may stand up here fearful to talk to you. If you knew what tomorrow held, if some of the people that lay out of church in different times, if they knew what tomorrow held, if Laurel County knew what tomorrow held, most of them, they'd be in church somewhere tonight. John, close to God. But the angel told him, said, arise and eat, for the journey's too great for you. You're going to have some strength. You're going to have to revive yourself. You're going to wake up. You're going to rise and eat. I don't think he had to force feed him. I think when the man of God woke up, he realized, what am I doing? Why have I mean, here I am. Here I am, the man of God that God used up on the Mount Carmel. Here I am, God used me in such great victory. What am I doing in this valley? And now he wakes up and realizes there's a work to be done. The harvest truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Say not for 4 months, the harvest. The harvest is right and ready. All ready. It ain't getting ready. It's already ready. They're on the vines right now. One scripture says the summer has passed, the harvest has ended, and still we are not saved. We must arise and eat. We must arise and eat. You're going to have this strength. Why? Well, I don't know what I'm going through. It may not be you going through it. You may have to have the strength for your neighbor. You may have to have the strength that he's trying to feed you with to help somebody else. I mean, if I'm in the ditch and you're in the ditch, I can't help you and you can't help me. right? I can't hook you and pull you out of the ditch if I'm in the ditch. But I've got to have something to offer you to get you out of that place. Sure, here the angel of the Lord has offered this to Elijah. And Elijah realizes, I need this on the Mount of Horeb, the mountain of God. Arise and eat. I know the picture here shows a beautiful feast, and that kind of makes me hungry. But you know what I'm really hungry for? I'm hungry for an old-fashioned move of God. I'm hungry for somebody to realize God's wanting to use you still yet, Elijah. Some of us are Elijahs that we have set under the juniper tree and we've retired. We've done a few things. There's a work that's still got to go on. And then there's some Elijahs that nice. It's good. It's good. Done good there. Appreciate that. That ain't bad at all. I'm not trying to scorn you, but you're an Elijah that God wants to get about the business for such an hour as this. Work! You're not alone. Elijah, God said, verse 18, said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth that hath not kissed him. I've got 7,000 that's not forsaken me. I still got 7,000 that stood by my side. They're faithful. You're not alone. A lot of times we feel like we're the if you feel like you're the only one, you're bad and mistaken. Because God's got others. And if you don't do something, God will find somebody that will do something. Amen. But he ended up speaking to Elijah. And the first, there was a thunder, and there was a earthquake, and all the mountains rent. But there was no voice. But the Bible says there was a still small voice. In verse 12, it says, after the earthquake and the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Has God ever whispered to you? Has God ever whispered to you? Will you do it? Hey. Hey, you. You wouldn't have paid no attention if there's an earthquake. You've heard them before. The loud fire, you've seen that before. Everybody's attracted to a fire. Building on fire, everybody run to it. Firefighters can't even get to it to put it out. Because people are attracted to that stuff. But have you ever got in your prayer closet and you shut the doors behind you? That's what the Bible says to do. When you enter into your closet, shut the door behind you. Maybe you haven't heard the voice, a still small voice, because you've not shut the door behind you. But when you shut the door behind you, can he whisper to you things to do for this hour? Can he talk to you? Will you say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way? Yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart, God, I'll agree. My answer will be yes. Lord, yes. Here Elijah was. It's got your name on it. It's all for you. Exclusively for you. Whether your name's John, whether your name's Aaron, whether your name's Mike, whether your name's James, Maynard. It's for you. Not only is it for you, it's for your children. What do you mean? If you don't get something, if you don't get something from God, them children are coming up behind you. And they're going to starve to death. And they're going to be asking the questions. Dad, I thought, I heard stories. You know, that's one of the most, that's one of some of the biggest indictments upon the Pentecostal church. And I love the stories. I love the stories of healings. I love the stories of them that God, as he was traveling down the road, that God dealt with their heart and turned them inside the church. And they came in. They didn't come in to see who was here, but they come in to pray because the Spirit of God had drawn them close. I like them stories. But is God still the same God as then? Yes. He still saves. He still delivers. He still heals. He still calls men to work. Why is he calling them work? Because the harvest is plenteous. He's calling people to the field for such an hour as this. We've come to the kingdom. And he's calling us as a church to rise and eat. You say, I'm satisfied. I ain't hungry. That's one of the things my kids, it's got on my nerves lately. My wife will cook, and I'm glad they're in here hearing this instead of kids' club. A lot of times my wife will cook food, and they say, I don't want that. Tell you what, if I'd said that when I was a kid, I'd been about 60 pounds lighter. But you know what? I ate what was prepared. And I was thankful for what we had. Nowadays, we've got a generation, and my kids are included, boys and girls. The table's been spread. It's been prepared. God has blessed it. How about us staring, sneering our nose up? I don't want that. I don't need that. You're going to need it. You may need this sooner than what you're thinking. Many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand. It may bring me poverty. Almost there. A few more turns. It may bring you sorrow and grief. I've been there. But I know who holds my hand, Brother Mike. I know who puts the bread upon the table. I know who put the roof upon my head. It's not me that with this ability that I can get out and go to work every day. I thank God I can. But he's prepared a feast for us. And it's up to us to rise and eat. But the church must arise and eat. There's been all kinds of spiritual food cooked in this place. It's better than homecoming Sunday mornings. We've heard all kinds of messages come behind from this pulpit. Great men of God have expounded the Word of God. Great men of God have brought the message that's saved your family. They brought the message that's kept you where you're at. Brother Huff is one of my favorite men. I've heard his sermons. I've got about 30 of them. I listen to them all the time. Wish I had a lot more. But there's been many messages come forth from the pulpit of First Pentecostal Church. How many of you have you looked at? Now, I'm trying not to take a long time. I'll try to shut this thing down. Destroy something. ever been fed by the man of God? Has he brought you a morsel? You was about ready to die. Somewhere, he came. Man, you need to eat this. Man, you're going through it. I know you are. I mean, you might not be able to show it. And you've got a smile on your face right now. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It's not going to hurt you. And there's been messages, and I know there's been messages that you probably didn't care much for. You thought, that's, like I've said before, the most dangerous place to be in a Pentecostal church or a Holiness church is the back row. You know why? That one on the front row gets a shovel, and he forks it back and says, that ain't for me. Second row says, that's not for me. And finally on the back row, he gets every bit of it. And he said, that wasn't for me, but I'll take it. Ain't God good tonight? I brought this message to you. I've been cooking this thing all day. I don't know what all ingredients. I put a lot of prayer into it, and I put the study in the Word of God into it, but God's the one that caused it to rise. God's the one that caused it. If it does anything tonight, it's all because of what God has done. But my plea to you and I as a church, let's just don't look back at history and say that's the way it was. Let's look back and say that's the way we should be. And if we don't get back to that, we're failing. We're failing ourselves. We're failing the generations below us. We owe them an apology. We that are supposed to be Pentecostal, they should be signs and manifestations of the Spirit of God. We should hear that often. It should not be a once a year vacation thing that we hear somebody speak in tongues and interpret it. It should be a normal. It shouldn't be abnormal. Do you know that there's a younger generation that when they hear they think, what in the world is that? Whoa. We have to explain to them that that's the way it's supposed to be. Somebody come to the end, please. This master calleth. Coming down. Where you at? Where you at? You said, I'm here at church. I'm on the fifth row. You know where I'm at. No. Really. Where you at in this message? Yeah, pinpoint you anywhere at all? Have I got you? Have I got you confused? Hopefully not. I mean, I've gave you simple solutions here. Simple remedy. The simple remedy is come and dine. Brother John Martin, we're going to eat. There's a feast. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the world. Not of bread and water, but for hearing of the Word of God. Pulpits have sounded out the message today. Preachers have got out in their congregations and told the congregations this way. Come! Come! He that's thirsty, come! Thou without price, come! Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Come! Is there any takers? Is there any among us tonight that says, it's me? I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I need a move of God. I'm not satisfied with living on crumbs. When I know there's more. There's more, Brother Mike Gilpin. Anybody else? Come on, church. Let's find us a place to pray around these altars. God, give me such a hunger. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Ho, everyone. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Come. You see, it's been a long time since I tasted that. You're the next candidate. You're the one I'm talking to. You're going to starve to death. Oh, God. Oh, God, we need manna from heaven tonight, God. We need you to rend the heavens and come down among us. Feed your people. You've not cast away your people, Lord. But Lord, you have an abundant supply. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Lord, would you bake me a cake? Bake me a cake, God. Bake me a cake right out of heaven's bread room, God. Lord, let me get a drink of this drink that you have provided, oh God. Let me taste, oh God. Let me hunger and thirst. This cruise of water, Lord. I know it's for me, oh God. I must drink of it. I don't want to die, starved to death because of my own neglect, because I shoved it away. But God, I'm thirsty.